Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, as I'm sure you know by now, the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, begins with a series of indictments against the people of God. God, through his prophet Malachi, charges his people with very serious offenses against him. And these are stated and then are questioned by the people of God. And then the evidence is given, which doesn't seem to faze them one bit. Doesn't seem to persuade anybody, in spite of the fact that God not only exposes the sin, but also documents the evidence that proves that it is true. It reminds me a little bit of some of these programs you see on television sometimes where somebody is questioned about anything that it could be, denies it vehemently. But a lie detector test has been conducted, and they bring out the results, and they say, here's the question, and here's your answer, but the lie detector says that that was a lie. And what is amazing is that in a pretty large number of cases, the person will still go on insisting that they are innocent and that the lie detector test is incorrect. Now, the truth of the matter is that sometimes lie detector tests are incorrect. But when it comes to Almighty God, who is omniscient, who is just, who is gracious, kind, and loving, who would never charge anyone with something that was not true, when God Almighty charges someone, that ought to be enough. And then when he provides the evidence, that ought to certainly seal it. But to continue to hear people proclaiming their innocence is just a reflection of how deep the depravity of the human heart can go. So we'll continue studying this last indictment in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, on the Beacon Broadcast on this Tuesday, December 10, 2019. And please don't forget that we do depend upon the gifts of radio listeners just like you. And I would encourage you to consider a year-end gift to support the Beacon Broadcast and to keep it teaching on this station. Well, the charge that is laid before the people of God in Malachi 2:17 is the charge of defaming the character of God, which to some might seem a little less serious than some of the other charges, but it actually turns out to be the most serious one of all. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of justice? Now, before we even look carefully into these statements, you get the idea immediately that here are people who are questioning the character of God. They're questioning the actions of God, whether they are right or not. They are setting themselves up to judge God rather than submitting themselves to God and accepting his judgment of them. And dear friend, you're going to be judged by God. You understand that, don't you? We're all going to stand before him someday and give an account. He is not only our creator, but he is the judge of all the universe, and he's going to call every one of us to give an account of ourselves before him in the final day. So here's your choice. You can either accept his verdict now, submit to it, seek his gracious pardon because of it, and be cleansed from your guilt, or you can stubbornly go on your way and until you die and there's no opportunity to seek his pardon then, and you will stand before him and be judged in the final day. In other words, we're all going to be judged, so the best thing to do is to accept the judgment now. If his word judges your actions, accept his word as true. Own your actions as being sinful. Submit to his judgment. Acknowledge that it is true. Confess that you are a sinner. Seek his merciful pardon through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to be judged, and the only question is, will you accept the judgment that is graciously offered now while there's still opportunity for you to do something about it, or will you hold out to the end when there will be no opportunity to remedy the just judgment of God? And that's exactly the position that Israel is in the book of Malachi. God is graciously telling them their sins. He is graciously exposing their failures, their offenses against him. And instead of saying, you are right, we are wrong, we are sinful, please pardon us, we acknowledge our guilt, instead they push back every time. We're not guilty of that. We don't see any evidence of that. Why are you making this charge? Simply compounding their guilt. You hear it in this last indictment. I just read it in verse 17, but let me read it again. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, and here it is, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? A couple of other general things before we get back into the specifics of these charges, which we actually began examining on the broadcast yesterday. But it just strikes me that this is certainly a sad commentary upon sinful human nature, in that the very last book of the Old Testament finds the people of God as obstinate, as rebellious, as unsubmitted to God as you find pretty much throughout the whole history from the beginning. And here it is, at the end. And nothing has improved. God has been gracious to them. God has sent them numerous messengers to declare his truth. There have been times when they have acknowledged that God is right and they are wrong and have asked his pardon, but only to turn around and to rebel again. And there have been many more times when they have rejected the messenger and sometimes even abused the messenger, beating them, putting them in prison, and even in some cases putting them to death because they didn't like the message. Doesn't that sound familiar? We don't like the message, so we attack the messenger. In our day, more often verbally than any other way, but still, it's the same idea. It's not the messenger's fault if you don't like the message. The messenger is simply delivering the message. If you have a problem with the message, take it up with the one who sent the message, not attacking the messenger who brought it to you. But of course, it's just human nature, and so we see it again and again and again. And here we come to the end of the Old Testament, and God's people are as sinful, rebellious, wicked, stubborn as they have been all along, in spite of God's wonderful kindness, his gracious promises and appeals and declarations that he's willing to pardon them if they will only own their sin. But here they are. All right. What is the evidence of their wearying God with their words, wearing him down, wearing his patience thin with their words? And we hear what it is in verse 17, in that you say, and two things. Number one, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. And number two, where is the God of justice? In the first place, they are questioning God's justice, his fairness. Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. That is treated as if they're good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. There's no value in being good, because those who do evil are treated as if they're doing good. God does not judge the wicked as he claims to do. The wicked are prospering. God isn't judging them. They are questioning God's justice. Again, it reminds me of what I often hear in the world today. People who question God's wisdom, question his righteousness, question his power. It often goes like this. If God is a God of love, how come he allows so much suffering in the world? And you say, well, because of sin. And then they say, well, if God is a God of love and is a God of power, if he has the power to overcome it, why doesn't he overcome the sin and stop all this suffering? And the very asking of these questions bring with them their charges of defective character on the part of God. If God were good, he wouldn't do this. If God really were powerful, he wouldn't do this. It's questioning God, questioning his character, questioning his attributes, questioning the revelation that he has given of himself. And here it is, puny, sinful man with his tremendously limited knowledge, speaking this way about the infinite, omnipotent, omniscient creator of the universe. But things just haven't changed much, have they? Sinful human nature manifests itself in rebellion against God again and again and again. So what's the evidence? First of all, they question God's justice. And secondly, they question God's involvement. Where is the God of justice? In other words, has he checked out? Has he abdicated his responsibilities? In addition to the insinuation that God is unjust, they are now insinuating that God is absent, God is uninvolved, God is uninterested in the condition of people and of what's going on in his world. Arrogance? It's incredible. When the truth is just the opposite of the insinuations. God is just, and God always judges the wicked, though not always on our schedule. God is involved in the details of our lives, though often in ways that we don't immediately recognize. But that is the truth, and the Bible is filled with examples of it. God judges the wicked. Consider what God did to the wicked world in Noah's day. God judges the wicked. Consider what God did to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Abraham and Lot. God judges the wicked. Consider what he did to the Canaanites when he sent his people into the promised land and so forth. God judges the wicked. Consider what he did to Babylon after Babylon was used by God to punish Israel, then God judged Babylon because of their sin. God always judges the wicked. How could you question it? We'll talk about it again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.